Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That's as far as we'll read this morning in this part of God's holy word. Amen. I recently finished reading a book written by a man named Mosab Hassan Youssef. And the book is entitled Son of Hamas. Son of Hamas, because Mosab Hassan Youssef is the oldest son of one of the seven founding members, leaders of the Hamas movement, that pro-Palestinian terrorist group in the Middle East. He's the oldest son of Sheikh Hassan Youssef. And when Mosab titled this book Son of Hamas, he did it deliberately because that title tells us a lot about his ancestry, about his agenda, about his identity. He was a son of Hamas in every sense of the word, until a British man shared the gospel with him. And by God's grace, through many providences detailed in the book, Mosab Hassan Youssef no longer calls himself a son of Hamas, but a son of God. It's a wonderful book. But you see, both before and after his conversion to Christ, those words, son of, described who he was. Formerly the son of Hamas, now a son of God. So we come to this next birth name of our Lord from Luke chapter 1. It's a son of name. We've considered already his name Jesus. You will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Last time we saw his name was to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And now we see a name given to the Savior revealed by the angel in Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 32. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." The Son of the Most High. From this name of our Lord, I'd like to consider this morning three aspects, three truths about the Savior. The first is his dignity. His dignity. The angel says he will be great. I love the simplicity of that. Jesus is great. We use that word great in a lot of ways, probably ways that diminish the greatness of the word great. But this is what the angel says. Jesus is great. You know, I'm reminded of that saying that we hear more and more, Allahu Akbar, from the Muslims. They say, Allah is great. Allah is great. But those same Muslims say Allah does not have a son. They don't believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God in the flesh. But here you see almost, I think, direct answer to that. The angel says, Jesus is great. Jesus is great. He is the Son of the Most High. That's why he's so great. That word most high is a word that simply can mean high or lifted up, can mean exalted. At times in the Bible, it's used to describe high mountains, mountains that go so high up into the sky. The angels, in Luke chapter 2, sing glory to God in the highest. But here, when we read that Jesus is the Son of the Most High, it's not a place so much the highest as a person, the highest, God the Father. Jesus is the Son of the Most High. And that's a title of God throughout the Bible. We've been singing it in the Psalms. In fact, in the Old Testament, that name of God, the Most High, is most common in the Psalms and in the book of Daniel, interestingly. God's sovereignty and dominion over the nations, even over the enemy, Babylon. He is God Most High, but it's prevalent in the Psalms because it's to be part of the praise of God's people. He's God Most High. He's to be praised and worshipped alone. And it's for our comfort. He is Most High. We've been singing about that. The Most High, Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, does not live in houses made by men. He is infinite and eternal and unchangeable. You see, Jesus has the dignity of being the Son of the Most High. As the angel says later on, the Son of God, the Son of God. See, Jesus was not the son of Joseph. In Luke 3:23, Luke says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And then it goes into Jesus' genealogy. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. So it was thought, because Jesus really wasn't the son of Joseph. You know this part of the birth narrative, that Mary was a virgin. And the way that Jesus was born and conceived, even, was the way he was conceived, was miraculous. She did not know a man. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High overshadowed her so that the one to be born of her would be a son of the Most High, God's own son. God himself, the Father, gave that testimony at the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3:17, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And at his transfiguration on the mountain in Matthew 17, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. You remember the great confession of Simon Peter in Matthew 16:16. But who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Son of the Most High. It speaks of his great dignity, the dignity that the crowds accorded him as he came into Jerusalem in Matthew 21. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see, Jesus is absolutely unique. He is the son of David, according to the flesh. He is descended from great King David. So that Paul says in Romans 1, regarding his son, the gospel regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. the God-man, Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High. You know, people might say, wasn't Israel called the Son of God in the Old Testament as a nation? Aren't all human beings in some sense children of God? Don't believers become the children of God by the adoption of grace? Well, yeah, there is a sense that those things are all true. But Christ's sonship is special. We should give honor to those who deserve honor. The fifth commandment, you remember, you heard it this morning. Children, honor your mother and your father. We are to give honor to those who deserve honor, flowing out of the fifth commandment. That means children are to honor their parents. Employees are to honor their employers. Citizens are to honor their politicians. People in the church are to honor their church leaders. But how much dignity does Jesus deserve? Is the question. Well, the biblical answer is he deserves divine dignity. Divine dignity. There are other senses that sons of God is used in the scripture, but Jesus is the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God, not a Son of God among many. He deserves divine dignity. In John 10, Jesus said, quoting the Old Testament, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? See, when Jesus came into the world, knowing who he was, he claimed a unique relationship to the Father, to the Most High. He said, in a unique way, I am the Son of the Most High because I am a divine person, fully God, fully man. And the people in his day understood that. They accused him of blasphemy because in that special way, he was taking that title, Son, to himself. Son of the Most High. That title speaks, you see, not just of a distinct person, the Son, but also of a common nature, divine. He is the Son of the Most High. He's a separate person, God the Son, and yet he shares deity. He is the Son of the Most High. Jesus is the God-man, the Son of the Most High. That title, that name, implies his divinity. He is to be dignified as the one who is the one true God, along with the Father and the Spirit. And so we read in John 5:18, for this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, they said on that occasion, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. See, all that's involved in this name, the Son of the Most High. His distinction as the Son, and yet his identity as the true and living God. Jesus made that clear. Even among the people of God who are the adopted sons and daughters of God, when in John 20:17, he said to Mary, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to my Father and your Father. He didn't just say our Father. He made a distinction to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. There's a special relationship that Jesus Christ bears to the Father as the Son of the Most High. He is Emmanuel, God with us. If God exists as eternal Father, he must have an eternal Son. And that Son is the one whom he sent into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In Galatians 4:4, it says, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. So we see this name given to Jesus because of his dignity and his divine dignity. And this is the one who was sent. But why would God the Father send someone with such dignity, with divine dignity to this world? You know, if someone shows up at my door at home, the greater the person is, the more I wonder, Why is he here? Why is she here? You know, if just anyone shows up at my door, that's one thing. But if the mayor of Russell shows up at my door, I'd probably say, I wonder why he's here. Someone that special. Or if a police officer shows up at my door with the dignity of the law, I might ask, I wonder why that police officer's here. Wouldn't you wonder? But imagine, boys and girls, if the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, knocked on your door this week. Wouldn't you wonder, why is he here? I wonder why he's come. A person of such honor and dignity, something very important must be going on for him to come. You see, Jesus is Son of the Most High. He possesses divine dignity. Why would he come? Why would he be sent by the Father? What was he doing on the earth? Well, we see that secondly then in his destiny. Not only his dignity, but his destiny. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Verse 32, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. The Son of the Most High is the King. He rules and he reigns. He always ruled and reigned as God, but he was given this honor. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He was given this honor as the God-man in his incarnation in consequence as a result of his obedience. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He did something in order to receive this special sense of kingship. He gained that honor by being a victorious king. Well, what was he victorious over? He was victorious over sin and death and hell. Over all his and our enemies. Who are your enemies? Who's the problem in your life? What's the big issue in your life? Well, the Bible tells us it's our own sin. It's our own sin. That's our biggest enemy. In Isaiah 14:14, there's a description of the king of Babylon. And this is what the king of Babylon said. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That's what man in sin does. That's how sin came into the world. Man, the creature, tried to make himself like God, the Most High. And that's at the root of all sin ever since. Like the king of Babylon, we want to be our own gods. We want to determine what is right and good for ourselves. We don't submit to or honor God the way that we should. That's at the root of all sin. I will make myself like the Most High. I'm going to decide right and wrong. That's what people in sin do. They don't give God the honor that he deserves. They don't give Jesus the honor that he deserves. I read a comment by the actress and activist, Kathy Griffin, pro-homosexual activist. She was given an Emmy Award in 2007. And when she went up to receive that award, this is what she said to the crowd there. Well, I guess hell froze over. A lot of people come up here and thank Jesus for this. He had nothing to do with this. And then she uses the Lord's name in vain. And then says, this award is my God now. This award is my God now. See, people having things in the place of God. They're not giving God the honor and the dignity, or Jesus the honor and dignity that he deserves. That's a very strong and extreme example, but we all have idols in our lives. We all have things or people that mean more to us than our Creator at one time or another. And yet, for those kinds of people who try to get rid of the Most High or make themselves like the Most High instead of honoring the Most High. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God sent his Son. In the face of that kind of sin, a sin that pulls down the Most High. That's what sin does. It tries to pull down the Most High. What does God do? The Most High sends his own Son, the Son of the Most High, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ, the King, the Son of the Most High, came to conquer sin and to save his people. His authority over evil is clear as the Son of the Most High. In Mark 5:7, the demoniac whose name was, the demons whose name were Legion because they were so many, shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So the demons acknowledge of Christ that he is Son of the Most High. "Swear to God that you won't torture me." They acknowledge Christ's dominion even over the demons. Do you know, even the Son of the Most High could not simply command sin to go away the way he commanded the demons to come out of the man. Even the Son of the Most High could not simply command sin somehow to go away. The holiness of God demands payment. It demands satisfaction. Remember, one Puritan said, the same God who said, "Let there be light," could not simply say, "Let there be forgiveness." Because that would offend his holiness. The holiness of God demands satisfaction for there to be peace and reconciliation between God and man. And so Paul writes in Romans 8:3, "For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering." That's why someone of such dignity to come to this world, to conquer such a great enemy. That's why such a great king had to come to conquer sin and death and hell. You know, it must have been striking, I think, to the original readers of the Greek New Testament. The word exalt means to lift up. And lift up in Greek was a way of speaking about crucifixion. It's a very interesting connection. The same word which means to exalt, like when we lift up our praises, that same word was used to speak of being crucified, because when you were crucified, you were nailed onto a cross and then lifted up. I can't believe that that connection was lost on the original readers of the New Testament. John 3:14, Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." John 12:34, the crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. He is to be the eternal king. He is to be highly exalted as king. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus, the Son of the Most High, and that word means exalted, lifted up. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, was lifted high on the cross. And because of that great and gracious work, he should be lifted high in our faith and in our praise. That someone of such great dignity would have such a destiny to be sent into the world to be the conquering king over sin and death. Have you seen, friends, what the Most High God was willing to do for sinners in sending his own Son? Isaiah 57:15 says, "For this is what the High and Lofty One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to to revive the heart of the contrite. This is what God has done in the gospel. The one who is high and lifted up sent his Son, the Son of the Most High, so that he could come and save lowly sinners. Psalm 78:35, they remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. Paul can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, what does that life of faith look like? A faith in the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. Well, I think first, practically, it's a life of reverence. It's a life of reverence. John Murray said, I fear that even in Orthodox circles, the implication of this title of Jesus are too frequently overlooked, and that faith in Jesus as the Son of God or the Son of the Most High has suffered an eclipse that dishonors the Savior and greatly impoverishes faith itself. Jesus is called Son of the Most High. That means that those who know him must live a life of reverence. The demons often showed more reverence for Christ than what happens at times even in churches that call themselves Christian. Beloved, the shepherds worshiped. The wise men worshiped. Do we fall down before the Lord Jesus in reverence and worship? He is the Son of the Most High God. You know, at this time of year, it seems especially the time when people think about his birth, there's so much irreverence that happens. I don't know what it is, if they just think it's just a baby and so it's not really that important, or what is in people's minds, or they've just heard it so much. I don't know what it is. But at this time of year, it seems especially that there can be so little reverence. The Son of the Most High. And we expect the world to have its laugh. But irreverence can creep into the church and into the lives of children, of Christians as well. Have we had the gospel so long that we think we need to embellish it? Have we become bored with it, the story that we've heard so often, so that we need to liven it up a bit somehow? Do we believe it's not enough for us, so we add to it? We need to remember as we think about Christ, even at his birth, that he is called the Son of the Most High God. And we should accord him all the reverence and honor that that name involves. There should be a life of reverence, but there's also wonderfully a life of great comfort. Your Savior is the Son of the Most High. In Deuteronomy 32:8, uses that name for God. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up the boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. God orders everything. He is Most High. He even orders where nations in the world are. And he put Israel right in the middle of Europe and Asia and Africa so that anyone going to any other place would come through Israel and be exposed to the gospel, the light on the hill. God Most High can do that. He orders everything for his purposes. That means he orders and places all things in your life as well for his glory and for your good. He is God Most High. Jesus is Son of the Most High. In Psalm 57, it says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Your Savior is the Son of the Most High. He is sovereign. He orders and rules over all things for his glory and for your good. What a great comfort that should be for us. Think of the love and grace that the Son of the Most High would suffer and die for you. What the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son. Look at the love and grace of God that he would give up his own son, the son of the Most High. Think of the sufficiency and the security of a salvation accomplished by the son of the Most High. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son. You see, the emphasis is on, it's his own son. It emphasizes the love and grace of God, but it emphasizes also the sufficiency and security of the gospel. It's his own son. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Mary experienced firsthand in the unique experience of the virginal conception that God can do what he promises. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That was a special circumstance with Mary, but the truth remains, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. That Jesus should be born Son of the Most High, that God could come and take human nature to himself. The virginal conception. Nothing is impossible with God. That's a great comfort to us. The fact that Jesus is the Son of the Most High, which reminds us that he is God incarnate, which teaches us that God can do everything, even taking to himself a human nature, even having a child born without a human father. Nothing's impossible with God. It should be a great encouragement and comfort to us. Matthew 19:25, the disciples heard Jesus say, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. They were greatly astonished, said, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What a great comfort that we have that the one born is Son of the Most High God, the virginal conception. Nothing is impossible with God. He will save you to the uttermost. He will deal with your sin. He is able to save those loved ones that you're praying for, as hard as their hearts may be, as twisted and bizarre as their lives may be. Nothing is impossible with God. And the fact that Jesus is called Son of the Most High reminds us of that. God is able to come and be born of a woman, born under the law. He can do anything that he chooses to do. A life of reverence. A life of comfort. But thirdly, also, I think our lives in light of the Son of the Most High, we remember our lives of privilege. Lives of privilege. When the time had fully come, Galatians 4:4, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Believers in the Scripture are called sons and saints of the Most High. Not in that unique sense that Jesus is the Son of the Most High, but being united to Christ, we become, as Christians, sons and daughters of the Most High. We have that privileged name and position. Daniel 7:18, the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. But with that privilege comes responsibility. We have to ask ourselves, do we live as sons and daughters of the Most High? Not so that we are proud in a sinful sense and think, oh, look at me, I'm a son of the Most High. Jesus didn't think highly of himself, Philippians 2. But are we imitators of the Most High? It's your identity if you're a child, if you've trusted in Christ. Then you are a son or daughter of the Most High. You are a saint of the Most High God. What does that mean? Well, Jesus spelled it out in Luke 6. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. I think that can be extrapolated to more than just money. Christians give without expecting to get anything back. Seek to give much, expect nothing. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. You see how that explains our privilege and our responsibility? Sons of the Most High. because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. We have to understand our identity as sons of the Most High. Mosab Yusef, I think, understands that. He writes in his book, "I could have been a hero." This is the son of Hamas, formerly. "I could have been a hero and made my people proud of me. I knew what kind of hero they were looking for, a fighter who dedicated his life and family to the cause of a nation. Even if I was killed, they would have told my story for generations to come and been proud of me forever. But in reality, I would not have been much of a hero. Instead, I became a traitor in the eyes of my people. Although I once brought pride to you, I now bring you only shame. Although I was once the royal prince, I am now a stranger in a foreign country, fighting against the enemies of loneliness and darkness. I know you see me as a traitor. Please understand it was not you I chose to betray, but your understanding of what it means to be a hero. When the Middle Eastern nations, Jews and Arabs alike, start to understand some of what I now understand, only then will there be peace. And if my Lord was rejected for saving the world from the punishment of hell, I don't mind being a reject." You see, what does he understands now that he is a son of God, a son of the Most High. He doesn't care what the world thinks. It's his new identity that determines his thinking and his behavior and his comfort and his hope. And he doesn't care if the whole world thinks he's a reject. He is a son of the Most High God. Jesus, in that unique, special way, as the only begotten, is called the Son of the Most High. Friends, do you acknowledge in your faith his glory? Is your life governed by his greatness? Is there a reverence and awe and worship of Jesus Christ in your life that reflects that he is Son of the Most High God? The children of God are called the sons of the Most High by adopting grace. Is that a name that you have yourself? That's why these books were written in the Bible. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.